Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm here today again with my friend, Bill McKenna. Hey, Bill McKenna.
Hi.
And today, you know, we have another really extra special UK Health Radio crossover. This one is going to be so much fun. And today we have Danielle Sachs, and her show is From Stress to Success here on the UK Health Radio show. And we have a great kinship with Danielle because what she's talking about so often is about how changing stress really does change your life. And so I want to introduce Danielle with that. I read your CV. You've got so many trainings and education behind all of this. But the truth is that this really impacted your life. So as radio show hosts, we don't often go back to the beginning on our shows, but we would love for you to share with us, how did stress impact your life? And how did you get into being what you call an inspiration, a person who's here to inspire?
First of all, thank you for having me, both of you. I mean, you know, what an incredible show you are doing and what an inspiration to the world. So thank you. It's an honor to be here. And I love that question because it all goes to the beginning of why we are doing what we're doing. And I don't think I talk about it often, but when I was 5 years old, I have an older sister and I'm the second one. And when I was 5 years old, we got a little brother. And at 6 months old, I went to school. And when I got back from school at lunchtime, he was gone. He died from cot death. So me, cot death. You know, the infant death, yeah, that people often, you know, underestimate, but it still exists today. They have never really find the cause, the real cause. But at that time, I'm now talking about the year 1966, 67. So, as a young, sensitive child in that time, I get back from school and I see my whole home filled with family, everybody crying, my parents devastated, and me and my little sister standing there. She was seven, I was five and a half, not really understanding what was going on. And you see that whole trauma and that whole drama. And I, being so sensitive, and I only knew afterwards when I was in my 30s that I was a very highly sensitive person, I took it upon me. In that moment, I made a subconscious decision for myself about, I don't want anyone to suffer like that. I don't want to see that suffering. I'm going to help and be so responsible and be a good girl so that nobody in my environment is going to have that kind of suffering again. And so when you go forward and forward, I studied, of course, physiotherapy, which for me, I loved massage. I loved helping people feeling better. And so in my first life as a physiotherapist and a manual therapist and an osteopath, I helped people with their physical symptoms. And already there, stress became a big thing because I could see as a physiotherapist that even helping them profoundly, after 3, 4, 5, 6 months, they would come back sometimes with the same problems. And so I would experience the fact that even if I was doing the best that I could, there was a mental, emotional cause somewhere that was causing that body to react every time. And so I became more and more interested in the mind-body connection, in what stress can do to your body. But it was only, and that for me, Bill and Liz, is a big thing. It was only when I myself, at 38 years old, was stuck by a stress-related, very serious illness with a virus in my right lung. My whole immune system collapsed. I was a mother of three living in South Africa. And, for me, it was like I couldn't do anything anymore. My whole system collapsed. And doctors told me I would never be able to walk a flight of stairs again, never, you know, probably end up in a wheelchair and certainly never be able to work again. And that for me was like the huge wake-up call of what stress can do in somebody's life. And that's when I, you know, when I realized I'm not gonna accept that prognosis, that diagnosis as my truth, because I'm a mother of three with a beautiful family. If I'm not gonna be able to work again and to walk flight of stairs again, no, that's not me. That's not what's going to happen. And so after 1 or 2 years of being flat on my back, I couldn't even wash myself. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't be there for my children. And so it's a huge story going from the five-year-old to the, but I understand it now. You know, it has helped me to understand that whole process of what stress and trauma can do to yourself, to your body, to your mental and emotional health, and so physical health. And so it has brought me so many lessons. And it took me 5 years to actually really get back to what we call the normal functioning in life. And so it was a whole process, but I studied everything, you know, the ancient wisdom, the, you know, the Tao, the all these ancient wisdom kings and the science. Become, I'm a scientist, I'm a medical person, I love science. So for me, it was that whole process of combining all that, but it was most of all going into my inner self, healing that inner child, all that kind of healing that made me come back to never who I was, but to the version that I am of me, myself today. And so my show is called From Stress to Authentic Success. And that is because to me, that authenticity has been a huge thing in my life. From the moment that my little brother died, I made a subconscious decision of helping, saving others and putting myself into another space, like lost, like, you know, I wasn't, you know, important. So putting on the good girl mask, always trying to, you know, never feeling good enough, not going for what I was worthy of, not standing in my own light, always going for the outside success. That's what got me so ill. And so it's that whole, I don't know if you guys can recognize this. Does that ring a bell to you? You know, the how authenticity, being true to yourself, is your biggest asset. That's what we are here for to do. That's when, you know, you can shine your light and be, you know, have the success, the natural success, the inside success, I call it often, because that's what's important. That's what gives you the fulfillment that we also desire and need. So yeah, I want some response or reaction from you guys. What do you feel with hearing that story?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for allowing yourself to be vulnerable, you know, to tell this the tragedy, which turned out into be, you know, the mud from which the lotus that you are has been birthed. But what I want to do is Liz had made an absolute unbelievable discovery many years ago. And I think that this will shed light not only for yourself, but for humanity that listens to this. It's called what she calls the core, original core feeling. Liz, maybe you could enlighten everybody about the core sensation, core feeling.
Well, I think the difference in the work that we do, Daniel, is we are focused on the physical body and its automated responses. So you talked about this moment in time that created basically a subconscious driver. It decided for you what your future would be, but it also created a core injury. You know, you talked about, you know, not shining your light, being held back, not stepping forward. And in those moments, they seem like the surface thing. Your brother was gone, but all the adults in around you had certain behaviors that little kids pick up on, that you see, that, you know, these little subtleties. There might have been food that was available then, and smells. There might have been the light of the sun at a certain time, or music. And the nervous system, because it's so such an injury, takes all of that and assesses the threat level. And it's a huge threat.
I agree.
A massive threat. But what it does is it creates a feeling around that, so that things like it feel the same. And then the body records is that, oh yeah, I remember that threat. Remember how dangerous that is. They may have nothing to do with the first thing, but for some reason, the body feels them the same. And then this thing becomes our core feeling. It's one of those things we're built on. We sort of carry it with us all the time, and it creates limitation, and it creates a driver that drives you forward into things and restricts you from things. We say that it creates an electric fence. But sometimes we'll run through or jump that electric fence based on a stress response like you're talking about. And that thing will often not turn out that well. And you can't figure out why, because you felt so driven towards it. So that's what we call a core feeling, and we focus on it at the nervous system level. But I want to answer the question that you asked. And it was, you know, don't we see that being who you really are, authentic, you know, changes who you are? And we believe it changes you at a core level. So when we delete out of the nervous system or signal the nervous system that, hey, we know you recorded that as a major threat, but actually, here's what really happened. You know, here's what it really was. Here's what it means now in the life. So we reprogram the nervous system.
I do that too in my treatments, because that's the only thing that has helped me. If you don't do that at the core, that's what I'm saying. If you don't do that, and it's, to me, it's not just about the feeling. To me, it's also about the truth, about the perception that I got as a child of what that perception that I took as a reality and as a truth, because it might not be the truth.
Exactly.
And so it's that whole concept for me that has changed. And that's why I do what I do, because it's much more complex than people think. That feeling is such an important part, but it's also the perception of, for me, it's also the perception of what I thought was the reality, which was my truth for the rest of, you know, until I got really sick and started to, you know, to reclaim another truth and to start see, you know, another part and what was really going on. So for me, I so love it when you talk about feeling and nervous system, because that's a huge part. But it, to me, it was not just about the feeling. It was about the truth that I, how can you, that I owned myself almost.
Owned
my whole being, that I had to be the good girl, that I am responsible for the suffering of others. Can you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we agree with you 100%. Exactly. That in our work, a lot of times we focus on the sensation as a way into the nervous system, but it colors the perception. And I would say 9.9999 times out of 10, when that collapses, the perception changes. In unimaginable ways. What you think happened didn't a lot of times, or it happened in a different way. So it changes your perception radically, and that changes your reality. It changes how you see the world. And in our case, and for me personally, I always say this, that the work that we do, and I'm sure it's has similar effect as yours, it changes who you are, and it deletes those old patterns so that who you really are emerges, what you really think, how you really want to react to things. And it gives your body the energy to actually do that. So I think we become more of who we really are authentically. When each of these old drivers that may not be telling the truth are deleted.
I agree.
So that's an interesting thing. It seems like we really share that. Let's take our first break. And when we come back, let's talk about how you did transform yourself and your own health. And how interesting it is that the stress and the thought pattern, this neurological pattern, created illness itself. So let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
All right, everybody, we're back. We're here with fellow UK Health Radio show host Danielle Sachs. And we asked her to share then what happened next. How did you recognize that stress was causing your illness? And then how did you start to overcome it?
Well, as I was saying in my story, stress was already having an impact on me because I saw it in my own life, of course, but I saw it in my clients, in my physio clients, in their bodies. I could make a connection to, wow, you know, why is that back or that neck so painful and that so contracted? And so there was that physiological, medical side of me that, you know, could start making, but because in that time, I'm talking about the 80s, they weren't talking a lot about mind-body connection. I'm a grandmother of five, you know. I'm talking here about the 80s. When I got sick, it was the 90s, the end of the 90s. I mean, mental health was not even, you know, talked about. So stress and mental health, I mean, some people talked about it, but not in the way that we talk about it today. So to me, I was like, certainly here in Belgium and in Europe, I was like a warfighter, like, you know, going, I could feel that the diagnosis of, look, this is now your life. You're never going to go, you know, back to work. You're never going to walk a flight of stairs again. You might end up in a wheelchair. And even one doctor here said to me, I know people like you in your situation who committed suicide. So be careful. And I thought, you know, what is this? And that has made me also aware that it is so important on how we talk to people, what we say to people who are stressed and who are living a crisis or who are sick, or, you know, it's so important to give them hope, but in a positive way, instead of saying, this is your diagnosis, this is how it's going to be for the rest of your life. And so for me, it was so important that was my first step, not to accept that as my truth. I don't know if you've ever had a diagnosis. It's like cancer. It's like any serious illness. It's not there to define you. And so for me, whether it's a very heavy diagnosis or whether it's a lighter one, be careful. You are in charge. You, of course, a diagnosis, a scientific diagnosis is important to listen to. And I'm not saying don't listen to your doctor at all because I'm a medical person. But the first step, if you ask me, can you see what I'm saying? Was not to accept that truth of you're going to be crippled for the rest of your life and you're going to, you're not going to be able to take care of your children to manage that. And I see in a lot of ways in diagnosis, Rafaela talks about it in her show, Stoma for Life, a cancer diagnosis, it's not there to define you. So that was for me in those years a huge thing to overcome, to take responsibility for myself and say, wait a minute, that's not because they say so and that's so that I need to live by that and that I need to take that in. Does that make sense? So for me, that was a huge step. Before we go into treatment with any other thing that can help you, it's to take your own charge and to take your life. And it's me who decides what I'm going to choose to do, how I'm going to deal with this. And that was for me a big turning point. It has helped me. And that's what I help most people with in the beginning is how can you take that responsibility for yourself? How are you going to see that? How are you going to deal with this? What have you done up until now that it hasn't worked for you yet? What can we do from the inside out and make it work? Not from the outside in. Yeah, I've done this and I've done that, and that doctor told me to do so. And I've done that for a year and a year and a half, and nothing helped me. So it's a big thing to start taking control and going that journey of, wait a minute, I'm going to take charge here and choose what feels right for me and what nurtures me and what helps me. And it's not lying on your couch for another 10 or 15 months. That's not going to help. It can help. Some people need rest. But in my case, it was taking charge in a totally different way. So, does that answer a little bit your? So for me, that was, I hope and I trust that people who are listening, if you are listening and you recognize a little bit something of this, go and own it and take charge because that is the first step for me.
My mom told me this years and years ago. She overcame something really terrible in her, 30s, that each person is responsible for their own health, not your doctor. And that your doctor, they only have a certain amount of information. They definitely will have a bias on what they learned and what they know, but they certainly can't know everything. And that a diagnosis is based on a probability of a number of symptoms put together. And that if it doesn't feel as though it applies to you, you keep looking. That's where it used to be that we would get second and third opinions for exactly this reason. And one other thing, we have a practitioner who overcame pancreatic cancer, and we see in her what we see in people who really do recover from something horrific, some diagnosis, some illness, is that they don't take no for an answer. They're 100% sure and dedicated to changing this and changing their life. And so, exactly like you say, the first step is that recognition that you do have control over your body. And that you need to take the steps to own your own health. So I absolutely love that. Don't you think so also, Bill? I think it's important.
Congratulations, first of all. The odds of you being here talking to us today, pretty darn slim, especially since you got the diagnosis. And I think you said something that we really agree with, and the death march. When somebody hands you a diagnosis, it's like the first thing you do is, okay, blah blah blah, bad news, and you're going to die, or you're going to be horribly crippled all your life, and it's just going to suck. And you decided not to do that. And
And I think, you know, Liz has a has an important way that she puts this. And it was kind of mind-blowing for me at first. And that is, if you look at a diagnosis and you break it down, okay, you got a shuffle walk, you got a right arm that shakes, you have a mask for a face, you have a soft voice where you can't speak very loud, you're prone to paranoia, you know, go on with the list, and all of a sudden they say, oh, you got Parkinson's. There's no blood test for Parkinson's, you know, but they got a bunch of symptoms. And the thing that kind of blew my mind, you know, as far as just a thought was, okay, what if the shake went away? What if you were no longer paranoid? What if your posture straightened up? What if your voice was strong? And what if, as you one symptom after the next, it disappears? Do you have it? Do you have it anymore? If you don't have the tumor anymore of whatever, you know, the tumor disappeared, you know, magically disappeared. And you know, this is an amazing thing because the technology these days, you know, we know it was there and it ain't there, you know. And there's so many of these now out there that are live and happening. I mean, Liz and myself know countless, and I'm sure you do too, where it was like, oh, you've got it, and now you don't. And that's not supposed to happen.
You know, for myself, I had one of these as well. It was a collection of symptoms that had a big name put on it. But here's something a tool I used in my own life forever and ever. Is there one person on the planet who ever changed this? Is there one person on the planet who ever got better? And if they did, then it's possible. And if it's possible, then it's possible for me. So is it in the realm of possibility? Mm-hmm. So what did you use for yourself? What was the catalyst that was like, wait a minute, I think I don't have to accept this?
It's funny that you say that, because I was a huge fan for years and still am of Les Brown. And he's that kind of voice that says, you know, impossible is I am possible. And so when you talk about that, it reminds me of that. But when I look back on how I created my 7-step process for myself, first of all, to go to the process myself, and then I have to say that I studied a lot. I mean, you know, you can see in my, you know, all the things I've studied, but it was often the ancient wisdoms, those, be aware of your words, making things like that. What is your focus? What you focus on becomes bigger. So if you take all these little things and you put all that together, I get goosebumps when I think about it. It started to compound, and I could feel that the more I was into that kind of content, philosophy, study, practice, it was a practice, a daily practice. It's not for nothing that I call it a truly conscious and subconscious self-care practice. For me, it's the complexity of self-care is not just eating, sleeping, drinking water, etc. It's huge. It's setting boundaries. It's your balance with your energy input, output. There's so many things that, you know, go from that authenticity. But the main thing was becoming aware of who I am and what I want, because I was always focused on the outside world. And now I had to ask myself huge questions from within and going to the feeling, like you say, going to that inner child, see how that inner child felt and see how, you know, how I could. And one thing that has helped me is the hypnotherapy. I'm an RTT specialist. So in the hypnotherapy, I go with clients, and I did it myself, and it made a huge difference in my life to go to my subconscious mind and go and see there, really do like almost a discovery journey to see what were all the limiting beliefs and the points and the feelings that were there, and then turn that around, reprogram that in your subconscious mind. And I still do that today with anything that comes my way and that I don't feel, and I even around money or, you know, whatever it is around a relationship, around love, what it doesn't always have to be about health and you know, well-being. It can be about any subject in your life. It's about going and see what in your subconscious mind, what is programmed there? What was your programming there, and turn that around? And it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful, for me, journey. But I combine it all. I'm a teacher, I'm a trainer, I'm a coach, I'm a therapist. I combine it all, and that makes it unique. That's why my 7-step process has been proven so many times. It's like your techniques and your thing. It's been proven so many times to have such great results. And I can only be proud because, like you said in the beginning, it's from that story, from that drama, from that trauma. And some people call it from pain to purpose, from wisdom, from wound to wisdom. You know, you can call it in whatever way, but all the techniques and all the things that I have learned for myself, and that's what I feel is very attractive to my clients, my potential clients, they feel that I've been through it. That makes a huge difference. I always say in my physio years, I wish that the orthopedic surgeon had a broken leg before he repairs a leg. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the big difference. It's when you've lived it yourself and you've gone through the journey yourself. It makes me even almost have tears in my eyes. It makes such a big difference. And so for me, I think that's my richness, my blessing almost. And I think, and I'm not sure about you guys, but when you have a moment in your life, when there's a circle, a round circle, when you become grateful for the biggest traumas and the biggest things that have happened, and you become grateful, that's a good sign. That's the sign that you've, you know, the circle is round. I remember in 2018, I got sick in South Africa. The real big illness was in South Africa, you know, when I got really struck by that virus. And so 2018, which was about 20 years later, I stand in front of an audience of 1,500 people in Johannesburg, talking about my story, inspiring 1,500 people. And it felt like, yes, you know, like this is, it can't be more beautiful than that. So just to answer that question, I'm sorry if I'm talking too much, but it's, for me, it's such a, oh, I love it. I love it. So
it's, oh, that's beautiful. We can feel it. We, you know what? Unfortunately, we got to take our break. UK Health Radio, take us away. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we are back. We're talking with Danielle Sachs, another UK Health Radio show host. And your show is from stress to authentic success, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. So in this segment, Danielle has said she's going to share one of her seven steps. But before we do that, would you clarify, what do you consider authentic success?
Well, I have had in my life, as I told you, I'm 63 years old, and I have seen a lot of successful people in my life, and I was one of them. But the chase for outside success, the rat race, what society tells you that success is, it so often leaves you empty, depleted, exhausted. You know, and you can feel that there must be something else that, you know, and often it has to do with that authenticity. You know, leave that mask behind, go for being true to yourself. And I'm sure you guys know the book about the five regrets that you have on your deathbed. And the first one is, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself. That is for me authenticity. And out of that, when you are true to yourself, you are being exactly who you are. That is where success follows naturally. And that's why I called it authentic success, because it's a success from the inside out. It has nothing to do with the outside success. And I'm not against money. I love money. It's an energy. You know, I'm not against wealth. It's absolutely beautiful. But the wealth that you feel when you live authentic success is a totally different fulfilling feeling than the wealth that you live when you chase outside success. And so that's what I stand for. And I also know that the authentic success that I talk about, Bill and Liz, is not going to make you ill like the other one is. That's my truth, and that's what I've lived through, and that's what I inspire people to do, because it is so aligned, and the universe listens always, and the universe will support you, and you will always be carried. And, you know, it's almost a divine kind of being and success. It's authentic success to me is being guided by who you are, by the divine, by the love that you are. So it's such a beautiful thing. And I don't want to be too spiritual, but spirituality is a beautiful thing. It's not the woo-woo. It's the authenticity. That's spirituality to me. If you look in all the cultures and the old cultures, it's all about being one with, you know, with everything. And so it's all about being love and spreading the word. And that's what we, the three of us, are doing, spreading, you know, inspiring people, spreading the word and the love and that we are. And so the light that we are. And so it's almost Thanksgiving. And I mean, I don't know when the show will be aired, but I'm just saying Thanksgiving is for me, is a testimonial for that. For authentic success, go and count your blessings, start there. And that was one of the things that I was going to say to everyone. The first step is in my seven-step process is that taking responsibility that we talked about. But what I want to add to that is taking responsibility is for your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. Not looking at the outside world, but looking at your inside, your inner world, and see there what's going on. And one of the things that I want to say, and I wasn't going to, but I feel it's necessary to do this here and now, is one of the things is to go and also look at yourself and count your blessings, not about the blessings in the outside world, but the blessings, the gratefulness about you, yourself. What talent, what strength, what gift are you to the world? You know, look in the mirror. Start looking in the mirror and see who you are. I mean, for me, that's so important.
You know, Bill and I see, you know, so many people in our personal offices. And then we have practitioners around the world, and they're seeing thousands and thousands more. And we see people in online classes and in events. And the one thing that we find in common is that when you ask people to say something amazing that happened in their life, most people will say, I never had one. I don't have one. Because the nervous system will override
always
and say, you know, wait, we've got all these threats, you know, the big stuff. Most people believe that who they really are is a accumulation of their injuries, physical and mental, yes, emotional and spiritual. And that all of these amazing things that you really are, you know, they're just not important compared to all of these big things. And I think our society does that to us. Mm. But I think this, the nervous system that takes in the information and also creates all the automated drivers, we really say it is the subconscious. It's the thing that has you doing and thinking and saying that prevents that. But when a person can find even one, where do you provide value to even one other human on the planet? Service is a big thing. You know, did you ever help a child? Do you raise a child? Did you help them, you know, go to sleep? Did you feed them? Did you nurture their body? You know, did you provide service to a friend? When you can find that piece, because that's the part we find difficult for most people. We use the nervous system to get there, but finding that one place where you do have something of value can be difficult. And focusing on a place where they've been of service and helped someone can often be that way in. Is there a tool that you use to help people find even one authentic, true thing about themselves that's positive when they can't?
Well, I've studied a lot of positive psychology, and it's all part of that. I love that positive psychology because it's a totally different concept. We're not used to look of what is going well in our life. We used to look what the problem is and the disease is and the diagnosis is. We're not used to look at the positive things. So for me, what has helped me, and I still do up until today, when my whole life changed when I started doing that, and that's the gratitude journal. Every single day, and in the beginning, when you lie flat and you can't do anything, you can't even wash yourself, it is very hard to find three things that you are grateful for. Believe me. Now, today, and you can look, it's next to my bed. I have a diary where every day I put in 10 things that I'm grateful for. But that's why I was saying to you, often people can say, yeah, I'm grateful for the sun that is shining today. I'm grateful for the flowers here on my desk. But people have heart to look into themselves, to look who they are. What is a quality that you have? What is something good about your hair, your eyes, your legs? It is so difficult for people to find something really, you know, that they feel so good about themselves. So that for me is even a deeper one than, it's already a big one if you can see the blessings in your life, the people, the, you know, whatever you did in your life. But it's even more powerful if you go and find things about yourself, because our inner critic, and you guys, you know that if you're scientific, our inner critic, every single thing that inner critic is negatively saying to yourself, it's another voice, it's not you, but the inner critic says something negative. You need 5 to 7 positive affirmations and compliments and confirmations about yourself to compensate that. So talking about an emotional bank account, we always talk about money bank account, but I talk about an emotional bank account. When you know that you need for one negative emotional thought or, you know, feeling even, and you need to compensate that with so much positive, start a gratitude journal.
I have to tell you, this is funny. I'm telling on myself, which I always do. Back in the day, Oprah had her, you know, talked about gratitude journal. And there was also Louise Hay. And yes. She would talk about standing in the mirror and saying, I love you. Those were the two things that I hated on the planet the most. In fact, years and years ago, I did a video about how much I hated the gratitude journal. I really did. Like, it would derail me so fast. Like, because my nervous system at that time, even though I was a very confident, proactive person, and if you would have known me back then and see me, people would have thought, you know, I took good care of myself and how I looked and all that. But dang, that would set me off because my nervous system wanted me to focus on the negative because it kept me safe. It made me who I am so far. So it must be a good thing. Not logically, but this driver, like, well, look at these issues. This is going to keep you from going too far forward and getting hurt. Right.
It's your protector part, isn't it? It's a part of you that protects you, of course.
That's all it does. Mm. I mean, from in the womb, the nervous system is intended to keep you safe and alive. So it is a threat assessment system first, period, right? Is it too hot? Is it too cold? You know, is it too high? Is it too low? Are you going to hurt yourself? Are you going to hurt? And emotionally, it's the same thing. So it took a long time for me of removing these neurological drivers before gratitude made sense, before acknowledging something good about myself made sense to me, right? So it is a foundational thing. And when it happens, I can attest it changes your life. Bill, you're a man, so you have a different perspective. Did you ever feel this way? Did you ever hate the gratitude journal, or did it come to you more naturally?
Oh, gosh. You know, First of all, you know, as a man, I'll tell you what, and I know I'm not speaking for myself, but I'm speaking for myself, but everybody else, you know, most men, you know, when you grow up and you're a little boy, you have testosterone and, you know, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, you know. And I kind of grew up as bad bastard Billy, you know, it was like always, you know, doing something bad. So you're always told, you know, you're wrong, you're bad, you're whatever. And not only that, but you go to church, you know, if you're happening Catholic, and you know, the first thing you walk in is welcome sinners. We are not worthy. You know, it's like, oh, you know, but as a little kid, yeah, you're right. I'm not worthy. You're darn tootin', you know, and anyway. So the thought of actually the thought of you're okay, you know, just being okay, not like gratitude's the next level, or you're amazing, or you love yourself, or you feel good about yourself. That is so out of the question. That doesn't even occur. I was like, so I was, you know, this was late on in my process, I was driving my car, and I think it was probably one of the very first experiences I had. I was driving my car on Harbor Boulevard, and I heard a voice. And the voice said, you got to love yourself. And I was like, what the expletive is that? I don't know. It was like, drink more water, eat more strawberries, you know. And the voice came back and just said, think of your nephew. And I had this really good feeling. This is a little precious nephew who is just as innocent and wonderful as possible, you know, you could imagine.
Like a little baby sometimes.
Yes,
you
know, it was a baby.
When you see a new life. You know, I have five grandchildren, Bill, and when I look at my grandchildren, then it's easy, hey? It's easier.
Yeah.
You see the gift in life, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And okay, feel how you feel about, you know, him, and I'll give that feeling to you. And I was like, woo, you know, I did it. Anyway, that was the beginning of the process. But you know what? For both of you, I mean, I think we're all in the same basket here. You know, we got our own experience, but we're all in the basket together. And I think it's really good that you know, you brought this up, and Liz, you know, you're allowing yourself to, you know, be vulnerable and say the truth about it. And, you know, all of us, you know, allowing ourselves to do that. It's a great service to everybody. You know, you're not alone, everybody. We're here with you. We get it.
Yeah, definitely. It is a foundational thing. And we love that you brought that up, Danielle. But we've gotten carried away and we are at the end of the time allotted for us here on UK Health Radio. So we just want to say thank you so much, Danielle, for being here. Please reach out to Danielle Sachs, SAX.com. You'll find her programs and her books and more of her amazing information. And please watch her show, From Stress to Authentic Success, here on the UK Health Radio Network. Thanks for being here, Bill McKenna. And to everyone in our listening audience, please be safe and be well, and we will see you again next week.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.